Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today, we're talking about what in the heck is wrong with Minnesota and why it matters for the rest of the country. See, Tim Walz, and you may remember him in tandem with his friend Kamala. Anyway, Walz is the governor of Minnesota, where a series of multi-million-dollar alleged fraud schemes has drawn the Trump administration's attention. What's going on? Let's start there with Rich Scioli at WPHT Radio.
So Tim Walz is a disgrace, a disaster, and he's got a lot of political problems. This guy has got a lot of political problems. This New York Times story comes out, and it's about $1 billion in fraud in Minnesota. $1 billion. Now I know it's crazy to think that. Like, how does this happen, right? I mean, how does something like this occur? How does something like this happen when? And the answer is because you get an idiot who doesn't know what he's doing. That's the answer. You get a moron who doesn't know what he's doing, and then he allows the fraud to occur. And that's really what it comes down to with Tim Walz. The fraud that happened in Minnesota is entirely his fault. And I guess, you know, when you've lost the New York Times, you know what I mean? You know you got problems. You've lost the New York Times. You've got big problems. $1 billion in stolen fraud money under Governor Tim Walz. Not the New York Post, not Fox News. And the big thing is that Minnesota ignored all the red flags about this. Ignored the red flags, didn't do anything about it. And that's because the guy's incompetent. I mean, and that's being kind to say that he's incompetent. Absolutely kind to say that. And I think, too, if you think about it, When you look at the fact this guy was almost the vice president of the United States of America, imagine that. He was almost the vice president. I mean, he wasn't, because there was no chance they were going to win. But if they did win, he would have been vice president. The president was asked about his comments where he went on social media and called them the R word over the weekend. And speaking to reporters, this is what the president said in Air Force One regarding Tim Walz, cut 9.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz. What many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him. Absolutely, sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia. We give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
Now, the headline, too, is it's not even the kind of thing where they don't even mention him. They literally say how this all happened on Tim Walz's watch. Like they literally say how $1 billion went missing under Tim Walz's watch as governor. So even the New York Times is acknowledging this is all on him. It's all on him. No doubt. And I think everybody can figure out the thing with Tim Walz, right? How fraud swamped Minnesota's social services system on Tim Walz's watch. Prosecutors say members of the Somali diaspora, a group with growing political power, were largely responsible. President Trump has drawn national attention to the scandal amid his crackdown on immigration. The fraud scandal that rattled Minnesota was staggering in its scale and brazenness. That's the first line of the New York Times story. Staggering in its scale and brazenness. The guy who could have been vice president of the United States of America. Federal prosecutors charged dozens of people with felonies, accusing them of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from a government program meant to keep children fed during COVID-19. At first, many in the state saw the case as a one-off abuse during a health emergency, but new schemes targeting the state's generous safety net programs came to light. State and federal officials began to grapple with a jarring reality. Over the last 5 years, fraud took root in pockets of Minnesota's Somali diaspora as scores of individuals made small fortunes by setting up companies that billed state agencies for millions of dollars worth of social services that were never provided. This all happened under Governor Tim Walz's watch. 59 people have been convicted in these schemes so far, and that more than $1 billion, that's a billion with a B, in taxpayers' money has been stolen in three plots the feds are investigating. That is more than Minnesota spends annually to run its Department of Corrections. Minnesota's fraud scandal stood out even in the context of rampant theft during the pandemic, when Americans stole tens of billions through unemployment benefits, business loans, and other forms of aid, according to federal auditors. We're all wishing we got our slice of that pie, huh? Outrage has swelled among Minnesotans, and fraud has turned into a potent political issue in a competitive campaign season. Governor Tim Walz and fellow Democrats are being asked to explain how so much money was stolen on their watch. How'd he do it, by the way, with his explanation? Well, he went on TV over the weekend, sitting down in what should have been a very friendly interview with Kristen Welker of Meet the Press. Dodging accountability, of course. This is cut number 11 from his interview with Kristen Welker. Take a listen.
Dozens of people of East African descent have been charged, convicted, and sentenced for stealing more than $1 billion in taxpayer money from government programs during COVID. As you know, Governor, that is more than Minnesota spends each year to run its Department of Corrections. So I want to give you a chance to respond to this. Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy.
No, you're lazy. You're lazy for letting this happen on your watch because you're incompetent. In recent days, President Trump has weighed in, calling Minnesota a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity and saying that Somali perpetrators should be sent back to where they came from. Many Somali Americans in Minnesota say the fraud has damaged the reputation of their entire community, around 80,000 people, at a moment when their political and economic standing was on the rise. Debate over the fraud has opened new rifts between the state's Somali community and other Minnesotans, and has left some Somali Americans saying they are unfairly facing a new layer of suspicion, among blah, 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 blah. The episode has raised broader accusations and questions from some residents about the sustainability of Minnesota's Scandinavian-modeled system of robust safety nets programs bankrolled by high taxes. Let me translate that jargon for you. Socialism. Scandinavian-modeled is a nice way of saying socialist system. Bankrolled by high taxes, meaning that they take money from people who contribute to the economy, and then they give them the people who, quote unquote, need it. But like every other socialist country, they're corrupt as hell. Minnesota, being a socialist state, corrupt as hell. You see what I mean? Yeah. Scandinavian style program. Code word for socialist ripoff. Yes. Walz's administration, a system that helped create an environment that drew immigrants to the state over many decades, including tens of thousands of Somali refugees. So when you think about people that say you create an incentive for people to come to these places, and they go, no, that's crazy. And that's something about the left. Like when the left talks about raising taxes, they act like everybody would just stay and pay it. Oh, they'll just stay. No problem. They're not going anywhere. Where would they go? Where would they leave? Like Mamdani in New York. It's like, no. They'll just stay. They'll pay. They don't care. They're fine with it. When you create these socialist programs and then you're shocked to learn it becomes an incentive for people to come to the state, well, of course it does. Of course it becomes an incentive to come. Why wouldn't they come? If they know they can come, and then with that, also criminals come too. Because they go, you mean we can basically rob this place? Like, yeah. We could just create shell companies and just rob the state? Yeah. Okay, we'll come too. So you have the refugees that come, you've got immigrants who come, and you got the criminals that come too. It's a perfect formula. And it goes on for years and years, and $1 billion. $1 billion. That we know of, by the way. It could become higher. The first public sign of a major problem with the state's social services program came in 2022, when federal prosecutors began charging defendants in connection to a program aimed at feeding hungry children. How bad are these scumbags, huh? You got a program aimed at feeding hungry kids, and these people are going after it because it's so rife for abuse. In fact, at the time, the Attorney General called it the country's largest pandemic relief fraud scheme. How this guy got on the ticket with Kamala Harris is amazing for so many reasons. Minnesota was a state the Democrats are going to win, so that doesn't help him. He would jump on the stage like an imbecile. That didn't help him. He put tampons in the boys' bathroom. That certainly didn't help him. And then you have this massive fraud scandal going on in his state. How did they not vet this guy? I just got to put on my politics hat here for a second and say, how the hell do you not vet a guy like that? You make him the running mate? Really?
So what exactly happened in plain terms? A nonprofit group called Feeding Our Future partnered with the Minnesota Department of Education and U.S. Department of Agriculture to distribute meals to children. Instead, upwards of 75 defendants submitted fake meal count sheets and invoices to trick state and federal officials into thinking they had helped serve that food. And they stole the money. Dozens of the individuals charged are part of Minnesota's Somali diaspora, which is the largest in the U.S., though the ringleader of the scheme is not. A probe last year by the state's Office of the Legislative Auditor found the Minnesota Department of Education created opportunities for fraud by failing to act on warning signs with Feeding Our Future or investigate complaints about the group. Here's more from Annie Fry on overall lawlessness under Walz that encompasses more than just fraud. It also involves the safety of the roads.
But we're finding out right now that in Minnesota, there are an enormous, enormous amount of CDLs that have been provided to people who are not qualified to be on the road with you. My son, he's 15. He's going to be 16 the day after Christmas. How do I put my kid on the road with these crazy people who have not met the needs to be safe drivers where, you know, we put our loved ones out there to drive every single day? We've seen the car accidents on repeat. They're horrific. And we're getting to the bottom of it here with Mary Margaret Olihan, White House correspondent for the Daily Wire on X at Mary Marg Olihan. Mary Margaret, thank you for being with us today. It's good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Of course. I want to ask you, you have a great piece on this at dailywire.com talking about what Sean Duffy's efforts are in Minnesota. There's a lot of talk right now surrounding what's going on in Minnesota, but I want to make sure we get to this because your article at thedailywire.com is a great one regarding these illegal licenses. Tell me about what Sean Duffy is doing as the Secretary of Transportation to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, so this is super interesting. His Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, they did an audit. Then that audit found that one-third of Minnesota's non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses, so those CDLs, were issued illegally. The transportation told us that first earlier this week, but they also told us that they were giving Minnesota an ultimatum. They can either revoke those illegally issued driver's licenses, or they could face losing over $30 million in federal highway funding. And so they sent a letter to Tim Walz and his administration in Minnesota earlier this week, letting him know of that fact. And I've been asking to hear from Tim Walz and his team and find out whether they're going to comply with that, what they think of it, whether they have any arguments from it. We haven't actually gotten any answer back from Tim Walz, but Duffy has been very clear, you know, saying this is not something that they get to choose on. He told me our audit exposes yet another example of foreigners taking advantage of Minnesota services. They failed to follow the law, and that stops now. So he's pretty serious about this, and he doesn't seem to be planning on backing down.
Yeah, it's good to see the resolve here on so many different fronts from the administration. Just curious, covering the White House, were you in the cabinet meeting press pool yesterday?
I was not. No, okay. I'm about to be heading in there for the next Oval Office meeting soon, but I was not in yesterday.
We watch these things. I have to make kind of in the moment decisions like, do we cover this live? Do we go to it? I just want to know, what is it like if you're going into the room like that? You have no idea how long these things are going to last.
Oh, no, you have no idea whatsoever. And I mean, look, I'm about to head into the Oval Office with the president and the rest of the White House press pool around 2:30. And you really don't know what to expect. You don't know which administration officials are going to be in there. whether you're going to get a question from the president. Sometimes he only likes to talk about the topic at hand. If you ask about something else, he might be annoyed and refer back to the topic. So it's always kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
And, you got to go in there prepared and knowing what you're going to ask about.
Yeah, it's impressive to watch the president maintain so much face time with the press, of which, you know, on any given day, he'll talk about the fake news press. But he's also complimented the press in his second term so far, saying it's been a little bit nicer than the previous time before. But the amount of topics that he's able to cover at any given time, if he, you know, is going to have something about fuel regulations that they're pulling back here in a little bit, he can jump to talk about other things like this, these unlawful licenses offered to these drivers, these CDLs in Minnesota. You know, the one of the things that kind of ties everything together with what this administration has been focused on with immigration is the licenses. You have this in your report on the dailywire.com about how these licenses that were issued to these drivers were valid much longer than their actual legal presence existed in the country. How do they reconcile that?
Yeah, so this is something that Duffy is asking Tim Walz and his team, because their audit shows that there was very little oversight into the way that these licenses were given out. I mean, based on what we are seeing, it seems like they were just given out willy-nilly to people that should not necessarily have had them. And so that's part of what this audit is looking for, and what Duffy is now requiring is that Minnesota implement a much stricter process and a much more thorough process before they give out these licenses, since we know this can have really fatal and serious repercussions for the public. But look, this is something that Duffy's looking into all over the country. I was talking to the Transportation Department about this earlier this week. They're going to a lot of blue cities. They're doing a lot of reviews like this. They don't want any more of these fatalities, any more unsafe drivers on the road. And they're really pushing this in accord with the president's executive order, saying that, you know, truck drivers need to be able to speak English. They need to be able to read our traffic signs. Just a lot of common sense measures that I think most Americans would have hoped we already had. But
yeah.
We did not until the most recent administration.
Well, this is one big story coming out of Minnesota. Another one is Tim Walz, the governor there, of course, the failed vice presidential candidate from the last election, being wrapped up in this fraudulent, these dollars to the billions of dollars that were taken in from the taxpayer dollars, and then some of them finding their way all the way back to Al-Shabaab, which is an Al-Qaeda connected organization, some sort of very nefarious Somali connection. Where do you see this story going? We hear about Governor Tim Walz being wrapped up into this, but it seems like it's bigger than Tim Walz potentially. How do you feel this story is going to grow, shrink, fade away? What do you think?
I do not think it's going to go away. And I think one big reason for this is that Tim Walz has long been an opponent of Trump. Obviously, he literally was an opponent of him during the last election, for however briefly. And Tim Walz frequently likes to make himself the center of attention when it comes to opposing the president. And so now we have a situation where he literally has this welfare fraud situation on his hands. He's got multiple targets on his back when it comes to this issue, and he's not making things any easier for himself. So I would not expect to see this go away. I think this is probably something that will come up when we talk to the president. Today, it came up yesterday. My friend Reagan Reese at the Daily Caller was asking the president about it. And even the Washington Post, I believe, was taking issue with how Walz responded to this fraud scandal and saying that, look, you need to take responsibility for this. And that's coming from the Washington Post, which I would argue is one of the most easygoing and forgiving of legacy media outlets when it comes to Democrat scandals.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment on your part. We're speaking with Mary Margaret Olihan, who is the White House correspondent for The Daily Wire. You can read her reports at dailywire.com.
So what is Governor Walz's reaction to all of this? It isn't what you may expect. Here's more from Chad Hartman at WCCO Radio.
We have talked the fraud in the state, which is insulting, which is excessive, which seemingly is unending. And it's not a surprise, Tim, that more national outlets are going to look at it. New York Times jumped in over the weekend. I think if you're paying attention locally, there wasn't a lot of breaking news, but I thought there were some quotes that were telling. An individual by the name of Kaish Magan, who is a Somali American, and I'm reading right from the Times story, who formerly worked as a fraud investigator in the Attorney General's office, said elected officials in the state, particularly those who were part of the state's Democratic-led administration, were reluctant to take more assertive action in response to allegations in the smaller community. The quote is, there is a perception that forcefully tackling this issue might cause political backlash amongst the smaller community, which is a core voting bloc for Democrats. We've discussed this before. What is your reaction to that quote and either that belief that that factually happened or the perception that it happened?
Well, good to be with you as always and your WCCO listeners, Chad. On this issue, you know, the Watergate standard applies, which is who knew what when. Remember in the Watergate hearings, of course, they were asked, the president's team was asked, what did the president know and when did he know it? And here you have a series of early warning signs from the legislative auditor, as well as now increasing numbers of Department of Human Services employees saying, yep, we raised red flags and the administration did not timely or forcefully or constructively respond to that. So to your point, your question, why would they not address that more aggressively and more forcefully and quicker and in an earlier point in time? And one of the theories is because they were afraid of being called racist or, you know, picking on the Somali community, which is a ridiculous concern. You focus on people's behavior, not their color of their skin or their religious beliefs or the like. You just focus on their behavior. And here there were ample and early warning signs that this thing was a problem. It was massive and it was not addressed properly or timely.
I agree with all those points. You have to look at each individual, and if they're committing fraud or if you have a system that it makes it further available, you have to tighten it up. The problem I have, and this is from consuming a lot of texts over the last couple of years since this story has been covered, and again, for all the valid reasons, that sadly from a perception of our audience now, they are now starting to broad brush the 80,000 Somalis who live in the area and including them with the folks who've been found guilty or indicted in Feeding Our Future or the autism story. So I'm not trying to back away in any manner on those who have been found guilty or those who are being investigated, but then leaping to anybody who's from the same country and saying, you must be part of it. Now that's repugnant.
Well, I think two things can be true. One is we don't stigmatize people based on what ethnic group or background they have. But at the same time, we don't excuse behaviors regardless of what ethnic background or religious background or other category they might be in. And so both of those things can be true. And it is true here that something like 71 out of the 75 people charged are Somalis. And there, there is a criminal network component to this. I don't want to call it a mafia, but there is a criminal network component to this. This is almost entirely Somali based. So is there a concern about that broadly? Absolutely, and it should be investigated. But we shouldn't hold everybody else in that community guilty by association unless there's reason to.
Okay, that's a perfect way to lead in to Governor Walz yesterday, because he made himself available on Meet the Press, covered a number of topics, including Kristen Welker, asking him this question about fraud and his responsibility.
Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy. And as you heard Senator Kelly say, this president has cut a lot of inspector generals. He's cut programs that
okay,
can help
let's
us
just
take
jump in there because he gets into Trump stuff, which we might get to before the conversation. For the independents and the centrists, okay, who look at Tim Walz and might feel like in 18, yep, I picked him. In 22, I picked him. But they're uncertain whether she'd run for a third term or not. And they're bothered by this amount of fraud. Is that answer good enough for those folks?
Absolutely not, Chad. And I think, you know, that if you just kind of deconstruct that answer, he refuses to take responsibility. He takes responsibility for putting people in jail, you know, after the fact. And by the way, it was the U.S. attorney, a federal entity, not Governor Walz doing it. And so, I mean, from a take responsibility and accountability standpoint, that was really a pathetic answer. And then he tries to switch to blaming Trump for things, which I think will be a strategy if he continues to run, which is, you know, he's going to know that he's going to take on a bunch of water on these fraud issues and other things. And so he's going to try to make a referendum on Trump. But I think Minnesotans, regardless of party, would appreciate a leader who would say, you know what, this was really badly handled on my watch. I'm ultimately responsible and I take accountability for it. I'm accountable. I'm the leader. This happened massively and under my leadership. And, you know, I'm going to be responsible for it. I'll get it cleaned up, but I have to take the blame for it because it's on my team, my watch, my leadership.
Okay, so let's put you in that same position. And you were in that same position at times where individuals believe that your administration should have been better and fill in the blank. And the default is going to be, as a governor, to defend what you have done. How do you balance now? Because you live this, honestly accepting some level of responsibility, but still trying to portray your administration in a way that you genuinely believe, and also knowing you're running for re-election the following year.
Right. Well, you know, in my case, you got to fire some people because, you know, here, I think almost no one got fired. I think maybe one person was asked to leave or submitted a resignation. But, you know, the people who were even more responsible for overseeing these programs weren't held accountable. So I'd start with, you know, what personnel leadership decisions were poor and how did those people fail in their jobs and how do you hold them accountable? Then number two, I think you have to say, you know, there may be some defense here in terms of why we did it the way we did it. But at the end, it failed. And there really is no defending this, Chad. There's enough information out to make it very clear what happened, that the system failed, that the leadership failed, the department failed on politics and policy and management. And you can't just, you know, mealy-mouth your way through it. I think Minnesotans expect responsibility, accountability, and in this case, I would say an apology. I mean, you got to... Voters can hold them accountable, but I think they would respond better to an admission that they failed and an apology and taking responsibility for it rather than trying to, you know, BS your way through it with a mealy mouth answer.
Do you see any scenario where any of the powerful Democrats would come to him at some point and say, this issue is so big, it's going to put you in a much more vulnerable position? As you say many times, this is a blue state that we think a Steve Simon or somebody else has a much better chance. It allows us to have a better chance in the open Senate seat where anyone would go to him, because the drip, drip, drip on this story is not going to stop over the next year.
Yeah, this issue is of sufficient magnitude and exposure where I think it has that potential. Chad, I think, you know, Republicans winning statewide depends on a number of things in a blue state like Minnesota. We have to have good candidates. We have to have an issue set and macro political environment that's at least neutral to favorable. And then ideally something going wrong so that you can say we could do a better job. All three of those ingredients are now present for Republicans. So this is a doable race. It's still uphill, but it's doable from a Republican standpoint. And I think relative to Governor Walz's go-forward decision-making, you know, it's ironically, he was very connected to the Biden situation. Now, this is different than Biden being cognitively impaired. But if the incumbent is so impaired that, you know, he or she may be vulnerable, the party is going to at least whisper that maybe it's time to move on, especially if you're looking for a third term, which is a stretch to begin with in the minds of independent voters and some other voters as well. So I think he's going to hear those voices. But I think a lot of it's going to depend on his polling and whether he thinks he can flip the script from a referendum on fraud and his leadership to a referendum on Trump.
Governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty, kind enough to join us.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.